There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. Let my bad up to do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one companion from Marvel Avengers Alliance. This is Classic. So we're covering MAA1 on Facebook. I'm the Rock God of Podcasting, Charles McFall. And with us is the birthday boy in his birthday suit.
The birthday cake of podcasting.
Are you the cake monster from Transylvania 2?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly right. So you're the one who saw that movie.
I am the one. I went to the theaters to see that movie. I liked it.
You're the one.
How's it going? Happy birthday, Brian.
Thank you, man. Thanks. And what did Playdom give us for the birthdays of the game, most recent anniversary?
You are in the game. Isn't that love enough?
I guess that's love enough. Here's what we're going to be talking about on the news on today's show. Playdom knows that PvP can be martyr, and then a bunch of emails and phone calls and audio content. It is a big communication show. We're going to be opening up the airwaves and hearing what you guys all sent in and have to tell us about. But before we get to that, Charles, anything on the food truck of Playdom?
I don't think there is, but it did remind me, we got a picture, I believe recent of something that we needed to mention on the show. I think it had to do with sales. Oh, it was all the different characters that were on sale. So let me see if I can find it real quick. Because, you know, most everything, we don't, come on.
Yeah,
we don't see it. So I got a picture. Right. I think this is the right Facebook account or right method. Yep, here it is. So the picture has Blue Marvel. Now I have no idea if they're still on sale, but as of a few days ago, try to see if I see a date, but I don't. It was Blue Marvel was on sale for 75 gold instead of 100. Mm-hmm. And these are, it didn't show the percentages, but obviously these are percentage off. No, it expires today. So I guess it probably expires at midnight last night. Possibly. This is August 2nd. So possibly you could get those right now. Maybe you can't. But Thor, Jane Foster, Cammy, and Morbius. Morbius was 33 gold. I'm sorry, Morbius. You're just a discount hero, apparently. but Cammy, Thor, Jane Foster, and Blue Marvel were all 75 gold each.
Can we get them? Can they? I'd like Death Locket. Can you make Death Locket available? Because that's the only character I don't have.
And that came. That did come from Ree. So Ree 51 cool. In the chat.
Thanks, Ree.
I don't have the game up because I was still trying to manage audio. Sure. I don't think there is anything going on right now as far as generic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we got our first tease of the next PvP character, the PvP prize, and that character is Phyla Vell. She's been known as Quasar, Captain Marvel, but most recently known as Martyr. And she is, what was her relation? I thought she was Captain Marvel's daughter.
Sister's cousin's brother's uncle, something.
No, the artificially created offspring of
son.
No, she's the second artificially created offspring of Captain Marvel.
Okay,
created by Legius in the new universe. The first being Genus Vell, and yes. So technically, I mean, for people who've been saying, "Hey, we want Captain Marvel in the game," this is kind of it. Beyond the Carol Danvers Captain Marvel. My son is coming into the room. Yes, what do you need?
So.
He needs some more Marvel in his life.
Oh, okay. He's making sure that he's... Yeah, 1 second, people. Hold on.
I'll go from here. So Marvel's daughter is coming to the game. I don't know that many of us recognized her at all when they put out the... when they put out the pictures on Twitter this weekend, but we've gotten a little bit more information, and yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so she's got some connections. She's a member of the current Guardians or the new Guardians of the Galaxy. She's in a relationship with Moondragon. But,
is that her Facebook status?
Her Facebook status is it's complicated, which I think is is typical of, your artificially created offspring.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But this is a character that, again, I was unfamiliar with because I haven't done a lot of reading of the new Marvel stuff, which explains.
Are you talking about
the all new, all different, fresh. And even some of the Marvel now? I've read some of it, but anything post Secret Wars, I haven't read because I'm still waiting to finish that stuff up on Marvel Unlimited. But soon, people, soon. All right.
Yeah.
Soon.
Sadly, not the newest thing I've read was in 2015 run of Kamala Khan. So, Ms. Marvel. Kamala Khan was released in 2014. Read that entire year run. Mm-hmm. It was, they're not calling it this, but essentially they came out and said at the end of the book, the authors came out and said in the mailbag that this was season one and that she would return. Because I got confused. I logged into my app to see if there's any new Miss Marvel. Because I thought it was new. I didn't realize it was 2014 run. I thought it was brand spanking new. So as they're putting it into the app, I'm reading it. And I was like, wait, that says Miss Marvel number one. I know I've read number one, but I don't remember that cover. And so it's essentially season two, and it's from 2015. So I've been reading that, but yeah, I'm not familiar with any of the all new, all fresh and clean Outcasts.
Right. Although she made her debut in Captain Marvel Volume 5, number 16, in December 2003. So she's been around for 13 years in the comics. I'm just unfamiliar with the character, but she looks really cool. Has she even been in television? She appeared in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes in the Guardians of the Galaxy episode of that. So you can see her in there as well.
Awesome. Now I am familiar with the name Quasar.
Yes.
I want to say
there have been a bunch of those too, though.
War of Kings. I think she was in, well, I think a Quasar was in War of Kings, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Which one it was.
Yeah, there have been a few Quasars, or at least a couple of Quasars. The one from the 70s is a dude, and obviously Phi Lavelle is a female, is a woman. A Ms. Quasar.
So is that about all we know about her? I mean, we don't really
We don't know anything else about her as far as the MAA use of her. There's not even assumptions as to who she's going to be. Agent Oranos tweeted out to MAA insiders and told them to listen to today's show. Thanks for that, Agent Oranos. But no teases for any spec ops, no teases for any group boss, no nothing. It's just a lot of, just basically the announcement for the MA PvP hero. They've also been dealing with their forums getting hacked or getting...
That's pretty stinky.
And bringing those down, taking those servers offline and starting up, just a new separate forum thing, so...
Some people just like to watch the world burn, man. And
I guess so. Exactly. So anyway, that's what's going on with official announcements for MAA.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see.
people are saying that possibly. Oh yeah, that's right. The description they gave her was that she is above class, so she could be another character with the ability to change classes, not a dual class hero, but somebody like Punisher,
Mockingbird.
Yeah, you couldn't as the player, you couldn't change.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Vision is another good example.
Sentinel, no, what's her name? Yeah, what's the female Sentinel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, what is her name?
Not, her name is not Sentinel, but she was.
Her name is not Sentinel. Omega Sentinel. She was Omega Sentinel, there yeah. It is.
I just, and I got that in my brain and not in the game. Ha! I edited that one up.
By ibidit, is that a term for puking up useless information?
Well, no, I remembered it as opposed to McFalling it up, where I just made up a name for it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I figured it didn't flow. It didn't flow as well as my failure flows with my name. But sure. What can you say? So you think that we'll be able to choose her class one way or the other?
That's a guess, because they're saying, again, they're tease on her prior to the vision or the visual of the hero. Oh no, you know what? People are pointing out that the above class probably just reveal is a reference to the fact that it's phylum, which when you're doing the, you know, genus phylum, or I'm sorry, kingdom phylum order yes. class. So
nerds. Above
class. Yeah, totally.
Species, like, whatever. Oh, you're probably right.
Yeah. So never mind. So really, that even what we thought might have been a hint at anything else about her, isn't.
Is there a possibility? And I know I'm doing the thing that I do, that I reach for something that's probably not going to happen. Yeah. But we just got the weapon that takes off cosmic class benefits.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? The Wub?
I think it's the Wub that does that. Could it be they might introduce a cosmic class because she's a cosmic hero? She's above class. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're probably right, but you know, I'm just wondering if maybe there's like a 1% chance it's we might be getting a cosmic class instead of a standard
0.00000001% chance.
Oddly enough, that's the same percent that Adam Sandler will win an Oscar.
Oh, really? That high? So the, I mean, something like that is such a game breaker, because it messes with the balance so badly, because if you've got this cosmic class, you need to figure out its weaknesses against the existing classes, and then you have to adjust these existing classes so that there's enough of a step, an even step between the class that she's really good against and the class that's really good against the cosmic class. And to do that, it's such a complete game adjuster. You can't just adjust a couple of the classes. You'd have to adjust all of them to make sure that spread is even. So as cool as that would be, I would expect that that's not something they want to mess with.
I get you. I definitely follow that.
But, you know, it's a thought, right?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what the Wub would remove. I mean, I guess going up in the simulator against the moon dragon that was there, because she had the glowy cosmic whatever, that might help. But as far as day-to-day play, it's hard for me to see it being a thing. You know, removes the cosmic class.
Right.
And that can be something that would be a bonus, not technically a real class. But does our moon dragon
have I'm looking for that in here, by the way. So the multifunction first action, it's funny. This gadget is based on the character Lucio from Overwatch. Drop the beat. Amped up. It's a ranged attack. It's the Staff of Agony. Thank you, Agent Arnos. The Staff of Agony is the one that removes. That's why I'm not seeing this. Okay.
Okay.
Let me pull up the...
They dropped so many weapons so fast. I just remember seeing it.
Oh, yeah. This is part of the set. Right. I was looking at the one that was the reward.
Well, I thought it was. I thought it was that one, because I knew it was one we got right there at the end of what we just recently went through. It happens to be the end of Spec Ops and not PvP.
I see what you're saying. The Cosmic Class bonus. So the Black Vortex Shard suppresses cosmic potential on enemies. And... awesome. Thank you for just randomly playing that.
Well, we didn't
Avengers
Lens
Wiki. Yeah, I know. Well, the streaming audience did.
Oh, sorry.
And then there you go. Yeah, the Staff of Agony is the one that nullifies the cosmic class bonus, cosmic nullifier. Yeah, no, we don't know exactly what that does. So who knows?
Oh, well.
what
yeah,
that...
Yeah, at least it's something for the future. Maybe it's when they reintroduce the flight suits for the agent, it'll have cosmic gas in it, and that's what they meant to tie.
And it's really the whole set. Yeah, thanks, Nathaniel's on. The whole set is what takes out the cosmic... nullifies the cosmic class bonus, not just the single weapon.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see what's coming. Playdom has been very silent for the last several days. No news from them at all on their Twitter feed, except for just letting people know that MAA2 has been having problems, that they're getting things fixed, and, of course, the problems they have with the forums. So hopefully by the end of the week we get something new to entertain us. But, you know, something that you can always rely on to keep you entertained is there's one thing, Charles, that will make sure that every month you get something super cool to entertain you. And it's consistent. It's predictable in the fact that you get it every month. It's not predictable as to what's inside it. But, of course, I'm talking about Loot Crate.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the special Spider-Man blue hoodie you made for Coverville for this.
Oh, no, that's hanging up right there, wrapped, sealed in plastic so that no dust can possibly settle on it.
Or people could ever actually see it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, Loot Crate is awesome sauce in a box. And if you don't like the box you get, it's like, oh, it's not enough stuff, I want more. They've got Loot Crate DX, bigger box, bigger loot. Every month, Loot Crate DX brings you a high-caliber collection of items. Of course, as you know from your favorite stuff, your franchises, your movies, your sci-fi stuff, general awesome geekery right to your door. Now, the DX box, being a bigger box, is a little bit more expensive. It's less than $50 a month, which we all know means $49.99, right? But you'll get $100 worth of goodies, whereas your regular Loot Crate box is just under $20, and you get around $60 worth of stuff. So $50 to $60, but this one you'll get at least $100 worth of goodies, from collectibles to apparel to home goods and more. August is the perfect time to explore the murky world of the anti-hero. Yeah, get gritty with exclusive items from DC Comics, Borderlands, and this is the DX box. Now, the regular box has different exclusives, or this will have more exclusives, whatever. DC Comics, Borderlands, and Marvel, you'll get two wearables and a cool collectible to, quote, light up your life. So go to lootcrate.com /giant-size-team-up. Enter code giant-size-team-up to save $3 off of any new subscription. You've got until the 19th of August, and then it's gone. So there you go.
So hurry it up. Hurry it up and get that Warcraft bonus in there as well.
I'm probably just going to have to go get this DX box for $50 because I'm a fiend for Borderlands. I ordered the Borderlands 2. I pre-ordered it simply, the collector's edition, simply to get the bobblehead of same starts with the M. I'm blanking right now, but the main narrator for the game. I actually have his bobblehead somewhere safe in a box because it's real and it's resin and it'll break. And I'm like, oh crap. But yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, well, very good. So Loot Crate, big thanks to them for sponsoring the show.
And one other thing about all this, it is Brian Ibbett's birthday today, and since he likes to try to let that sneak up on you, I'm going to do my damnedest to find his Amazon list and put it up on our Facebook page. So if you want to do more than just say happy birthday, you can as well.
Great. Yeah, you can finally buy me that $700 mini Segway that I've had my eye on for a while.
We'll pass the plate and take up a collection. We'll do what Perfect. We can.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever, Charles. I'm not condoning this, but
and you wouldn't. That's why you're the nicest guy.
But I'm not going to stop you. All right. Well, of course, before we get to your emails and your thoughts and your suggestions and ideas for topics and your emails you've sent in, we've got our holy trinity, our fantastic four. I don't know how many there are this time around. Looks like our trinity, our brain trust of Kingfisher, Pokey Prof, and Anado.
That is the case, and I've got Kingfisher right here in front of me, so let's get this one going.
All right.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745, and this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, I don't have to tell you that there's not a ton going on in the game, but I believe just under a week ago, they did announce Phyla Vell, aka Martyr, as the next PvP reward character. Now, I don't know a ton about this character, but I'm always excited to get someone new. And I at least, I guess, have some idea of her from HeroClix. That's oftentimes where I've at least seen a character before, when they may be kind of obscure to me. But even whether I know the character well or don't, I'm always excited to get someone new, so at least that was some news. I do fully expect something to come out, probably today, but certainly this week, and I'm definitely ready for it. We may be way off base, but me and a friend were speculating on Facebook that, hey, if they want to make Ronan maybe a lockbox character in an upcoming spec op, then maybe they could make it a Kree-based theme. So give us maybe Marvel Boy, Novar, or Photon, Jenis Vell. At the same time, though, I could definitely see Ronan as a lockbox character in the same PvP season as Martyr. In fact, my brain's kind of leaning towards that. The only hesitation is we need a group boss. So are they going to have double lockbox characters running? I don't know. But surely we're going to get a group boss. If they want to make us all really happy as players, give us that PvP season, a spec op with a group boss, and get Chapter 11 done soon. I know I'll be grateful. I'm always hoping for the best, so I'll just keep my fingers crossed till then. Oh, and by the way, since there should be a new spec op soon, I do just want to mention right now that my gifts are broken. I can't add any allies to the game or receive any daily gifts. So if you're listening, please fix that again. Thank you. Alright, so that's kind of the state of the game address. As far as our next All Hail the King episode, it's still coming. It's going to feature Faiza Hussein, and that'll take place this week. But for our current segment and next week's video, we're going to have to cover Songbird, of course. Songbird, I think, is an interesting character. She's not exactly overpowered, and that's what kind of eliminates her from that really useful PvP category. You see, we have some very overpowered individuals, and if you can't top them, you can't really break into the scene. Excalibur was pretty over the top, so that's why she's kind of making a splash. Songbird, not quite. I absolutely love that her passives proc so often, though. I love that. Her level 1 ability that locks down certain types, it's kind of cool. I've seen it work in PvE, but typically in PvP, they're usually blocking debuffs. They remove it right away, or it just really hasn't had a chance to kick in much for me. Her public address is pretty decent, the taking reduced damage from enemy attacks, and most importantly, preventing extra damage from attacks that exploit status effects, can definitely help out. But her Shattering Shriek, I feel like, needs the damage tuned up a little bit. It should be way more devastating. Even with that being said, and me feeling like it's underwhelming, that's going to be tested a little bit more, especially in the All Hail the King video. So we're going to be working on boosting that Delirium and Attrition. And once again, I think Cloak and Dagger are pretty excellent partners for that. Then, as everyone has mentioned, or many people have, including Matt, a friend of myself and the podcast, Enchantress is a great character for her. They share both of those traits. So we'll see if we can get some big attacks from the both of them. Big AoE attacks, that is. My favorite type. Why hit one character when you can hit the whole team? But for the third team up, there's quite a few Attrition and Delirium types. I may just want to try Pestilence Beast, or Morbius, one of my favorite characters. And then even part of me wants to use someone like Magic, Doctor Strange, or Baron Mordo. Right now the third teammate is up in the air, so you're going to have to tune into the episode to find that one out. But that's pretty much going to be it for today's segment. I really hope something comes out later, and if it does, I'll make sure to cover it. So check out the channel, keep listening, and keep watching. Thank you very much for taking the time out to listen to me today. That's it, but I'll send it back to the hosts.
Who
Thank you, Kingfisher.
Who is this songbird he speaks of?
Yeah, it's the...
I don't know.
Yeah, this underwhelming PvP hero. People are overwhelmingly not happy with her output, her damage output.
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm okay. I can happily say my Faiza Hussein, I'm in the simulator now, power leveling her, and she is heading towards 13 or 14 at this point. I can't remember which level I'm doing. So that's how I'm entertaining myself in this lack of content, is I get in, and is her training done? Oh, it is? Okay, let's hit the simulator, put her back in training. I'll come back in 2 days when she's out again. I come back the next day, log in, so I get my one TP because I've missed that way too many times recently. And then I'll go, then I come back. So. Pfizer is good. I've been teaming her with Blue Marvel because he's also a generalist, so I'm leveling him as well. Mm-hmm. And Blue Marvel at level 9 and her, I mean, they really did some nice damage, and neither one of them are fully leveled yet. It's like, all right, this might be an interesting team to try out in PvP. I'm so grateful to Kingfisher. Not only is he highly entertaining, his brain works the way the game works as far as synergy. Yeah. Because I'll see a team like, oh man, Blue Marvel's coming in, and he's doing all this amazing stuff, and she's a healer and a fighter, and I'll put her with, you got to put her with the agent in PvP, so I can come up with a set for both of them. I can make an agent the protector, whatever. And you'll do this, and you'll go into a practice, and in PvE, it destroys. And in PvP, it's like, who brought the wet paper bag, and why can't I get out of it? I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, so true, though. Yeah.
Not that I've tried that team yet, just in general.
The paper bag team?
Well, the Blue Marvel and Fiza team.
Oh, okay.
I am going to try it, but that's just how I expect it to go. Because that's how every other team I personally come up with, going, wow, they do really great. And you throw them in PvP, it's like, no.
Yeah, it's all, obviously on the defensive side, it always depends on how well the AI can play that character, right? I mean, they can do really well on the offensive side because you're in control and you can say, all right, you do these two attacks to build up to this third one, and then this one is kind of a support attack. But as we've seen, with many characters over on the AI side, they just don't know how to play them. For example, a healing character that heals your whole team before you've even taken any damage, right? Like wasting an entire round on healing.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking forward to seeing that. I've been leveling her up on the flight deck just because I haven't had time to play lately, but I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do. And Uncle George is raving about Fiza, so I'm excited to hear his recommendations on her as well.
She is solid. So doing the simulator, I'm using Moon Knight, who is a 14, and Taskmaster is a 15, and we're just going to town on people, and I'm going, both of these characters should be very viable, Taskmaster and Moon Knight, both of them should be very viable in PvP, and they're kind of not. I would love to hear, I would like the Brain Trust to do a Moon Knight run, right? Mm-hmm. Anado does the loadout. Pokey Prof does the breakdown, and here's the best way to use them, and this, that, and the other. And then Kingfisher does the team ups. And not just on paper, but everywhere else besides PvP. And I admittedly have not played him in PvP lately. I tend to stick to the meta because it's what works. But everywhere, this cat shines. All you have to do is be a little bit slower and look at what his persona is. And that kind of dictates what you're going to do with the attack. And his persona changes every round. So pretty quickly, you can set up a pretty good attack. I mean, you get it done just right, and it doesn't take long to get it done just right, but you get it done just right, his first level attack, I think it's the Fist of Khonshu, he will just smash, because he does it with retribution, right? How much retribution he has on him.
Right.
And I've had him smash up to 10 times for 3,000 to 4,000 each hit.
Wow.
And it's like, holy cow, this guy's a tank.
He's done that in PvP to me several times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, enough of the wishing and wanting. Let's talk about Shatterstar coming from the Pokey Prof, who, I can't help but give out his phone number because, I have to. It's 1-555-555 Mojo is the number he gave us.
Mojo.
In case he had problems.
Nice. Yeah. Right, because that's the Mojoverse. That's his phone number in the Mojoverse.
So that was very fun. Are you... Is that... Nope. It didn't trigger right. Let's try it again. I did do it. It talked over. It's like, okay, it'll be ready to go when I'm done talking. And then something glitched. It did not.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, And don't worry, this entire segment will be completely 100% devoid of Aloha Executor memes. If you have no bloody clue what I'm talking about, be sure to look at the new Pokemon Sun and Moon footage and be prepared to laugh your ass off. While on the topic of weird-looking characters, there's one universe close to ours that seems to have a large collection of them, and yet we've only seen a few of their heroes and none of their villains. We never know exactly when they might strike, however, so I decided we might as well go over the first of the heroes from this universe to join us. Escaping from an almost tyrannical rule of Mojo, let's go over what Shatterstar is capable of. Perhaps the most interesting thing about the dual-wielding swordsman here is that, for what some agents say, he was originally set up to be a scrapper who was a bruiser buster with how his kit works. And in many ways I can actually see this. His Vibro Shockwave attack exploits protection, which most bruisers were at the time, on top of him also having deadly crits and ignore defense should the enemy be tenderized. Of course, time and new heroes have changed that greatly, I might add, but he's still capable of having this skill becoming his hardest hitting ability should you get it set up correctly. Like a few other older heroes before him, though, Shatterstar is someone who works best by following a certain pattern of attacks. His Gladiatorial Carnage skill gives him a supercharge of stats and should always be his starting maneuver, since it also allows him to get an extra turn in his next round. Following this up with his Mojo Skewer and the aforementioned Shockwave attack, and Shatterstar's capable of laying out the damage really fast. He's even gotten better with the pain buff they did, as now they stack more and they stick around a lot more often than they did before. Also, by being level 15, he's getting a free pain stack on everyone on the field with his follow-up attacks, something he only had access to before when fighting infiltrators. Should you ever want to make Shatterstorm more useful, you can always pick up his personal AISOs, which add pain train to his level 1, putting more debuffs on the enemy, and giving him the passive Warbringer effect, which, to my knowledge, is only accessed to 3 or 4 heroes now. Shatterstar is one of the more interesting heroes around, as his fighting style isn't immediately clear, nor is it anything he seems to really excel at like other heroes. More of a showman than a fighter, he's nevertheless capable of some rather interesting moves should you choose to have him along in a fight. Just be sure to equip him accordingly. Head back to the... Wait, what the hell's going on? Who the hell are you?
Oh, don't worry, my boy. You're gonna be as big of a star as the X-Men were. Just keep your ratings high and everything will be fine.
Okay. Oh, man. That scared me so bad I had to let Happy play for a second. I'm like, what the hell? Oh, all right. That was crazy.
I don't even know. What's going on?
I don't know either. Oh, so that's why we got the message from the automated service of PokeProf, who was unable to send it directly today. So apparently he's going to go be a big star as like the X-Men and get kidnapped somehow, some way.
Was Mojo. That was Mojo talking.
Who's Mojo?
I'm not. Mojo's like the big spider character that lives in the Mojoverse. She's got it has got like these.
It's the fat alien from the X-Men TV show. Somebody said, "Okay,
yes, okay." There you go.
I gotta remember that a little bit.
Yeah. The metallic spider, the robotic spider legs that move the chair that he or she was on. I can't remember if Mojo was male or female. I think male. Boy, it was just a disturbing picture in all either gender.
The whole breaking in, I did not see coming. I was just kind of cruising along, listening to him all. It got me, man. Okay.
Cristobal says he, yeah. Cristobal confirms that was indeed a he. Yeah, Longshot came from that universe, Spiral.
I knew Shatterstar kind of, I don't know much about the Mojoverse. I do know about Shatterstar and Longshot.
Mm-hmm. And Spiral.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I love Shatterstar. I loved him from the first day they launched him. I totally understand his fighting style. To me, you have to get the, and I have to have him in front of me, and I don't have him in front of me right now to get it exactly right. But basically, you do the attack that sets up two attacks on the next turn. And I think it's his level. His level 9, you know, aren't you? It says, are you not entertained? And then the next turn, you do his level 2 on somebody, which puts a certain debuff on him. That his level 3, or his level 6, rather, his third power, his level 6 power, monopolizes on. So you do this attack, and if they have the debuff that you set up with his level 2 attack, it will just shatter the, well, you know, no pun intended, but it'll just shatter them. I mean, it's just,
it'll shatter the stars, what you're telling. Hard,
yeah. And that's the order you go in. So you get one attack, and then you do two attacks at once, and you can pretty much take out a character. And then whenever he does follow-ups or counterattacks, because he'll get that too, depending on what's going on, because he's a scrapper, so if he goes up against the infiltrator, he hits everybody with his follow-up or his counterattack.
Oh, okay.
And that puts pain on them. And I never actually trigger his level 1 attack, ever. I just let it follow up and do it. And I can't remember if I have any of his ISOs or not, but without that, it's still so much fun. But again, in PvP, just sits there going, I'm Union, man. It's my break. I don't know what to do.
Right, yeah.
So I don't, yeah.
Well said.
Thanks. All right, so we've got Anado here now. So let's make sure it's right. And it's going to spin for a second. But what the king said about all that content, I'm happy. But, man, the only thing he left out was a covert op. I was like, dude. You know they're going to drop all this stuff. And we've got some breaking stuff going on in the chat room that we're going to bring out as soon as I get this audio to play. Basically, flight suits are fixed with a question mark and exclamation mark.
Really?
And they're in the research. They're all in the research. So that's what the chat room is going nuts about. And I don't...
Yeah, look, everybody's saying that. Flight suit is fixed.
In the research. I see a general's flight suit, a scrapper flight suit, a bruiser flight suit. This audio is still loading. Next week, everybody, better. I'll have better laptop. I promise. This is the last that this is ever going to do this to us. I see all the blaster, tactician.
Need to refresh because I'm not seeing it yet.
Well, when you go to the research, I just clicked on the uniforms tab to narrow it down. That helped.
Yeah.
What do you need? I guess you have to win it to get the blueprint unlocked because they're all locked. Yeah, a blueprint tactician flight suit needed. So there is that. And then I guess go to our team. I'm going to have to restart this audio because it's not triggering. Something's not right. So we'll try that again. Then let's go to default. And go to my suits, and there's the infiltrator flight suit. It's got two ISO slots on it. Oh, here we go. Here comes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Anado's MAA Arsenal, exclusively on the From the Helicarrier podcast. In this segment, I will try my best to come up with out-of-the-box hero and team builds, synergies, and uncover certain aspects of the game most tend to ignore. That's right, folks. The John Doe of Deers is back, and oh boy, does he have plenty to discuss. Except for new content, that still seems to be a mystery. Oddly enough, last week I happened to leave on two nights, and on both those nights, the MAA team thought it would be funny to share some bits of news. That might have been because I posted that I was going to be gone those days. So, yeah, you heard it here. I leave, and something comes out. Now maybe if I just step away for a sec... Did it work?
No.
Lick kicking tongue sister. Well, if that's not going to work, we better move on to our next topic. Today, I thought it would be awesome to look at something that might be awesome and shut it down before it gets way too awesome. That would be the spirit of vengeance himself, Ghost Rider, or soon to be Greythoth, Breaker of Wills. Wait a sec, wouldn't Ghost Rider be the Breaker of Souls? That is his niche. Well, I guess he wasn't worthy of the mantle.
That'd be great, break your souls. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I gotta stop with these lame jokes. But that's besides the point. So let's see if we can take down Ghost Rider before he becomes worthy. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Anado, how in the hell will you do that when his alts haven't been released? Well, elementary, my dear Watsons. Now let's take a look at the charts. Each worthy comes with their worthy passive. This will give them the immunity to burning, chilled, radiation, poison, and fear effects. Off the top of our heads, we know so far that magic debuffs and bleeding will be the only thing that hurts him over a period of time thus far. He is also able to take half damage from non-magic attacks due to his Infernal Contract passive. While I believe the passive will get an upgrade in his worthy ult, it still leaves the option for you to use magic attacks. Finally, he has the Hallowed Vulnerability passive, which leaves him vulnerable to hallowed weapons and attacks. Such labeled attacks deal 150% more damage to the attacker. With a combination like this, it's more than likely that magic is the killer. Now, I went out and found myself a bunch of ways to take down Ghost Rider. I know that his attacks are still a mystery by the time of this recording, but we still have ways to take him down. First, a blaster suit is the way to go. Seeing as most of the current worthy are bruisers, and that I can hardly imagine Ghost Rider being a tactician, blaster is class. Second, hallowed weapons. The Uter Pendragon is a definite recommendation for myself. The Hallowed Flamethrower is also a favorite of mine, boosting your attack by 10%. Now run that weapon with the Vampiric Sword, and it's going to give you so many turns to take him down. Third, magic. Now there is many ways you can do this. One is by pulling a rabbit out of your hat, which I wouldn't recommend, and the others being that you have a magic weapon, or even better, the mystical EISO, which makes all your attacks magic. Lastly, I'm pretty sure you're going to run into Penister quite a bit once the alt is out. If you're worried about that happening, might I suggest Faiza Hussein? She is an awesome hero, and a big pain in the butt too. Really? Do I have to spoil you guys today? Alright, let's jump into it. Faiza seems to be annoying due to her being able to remove and prevent prevention effects, as well as debuffs like Doom and Despair. However, this does put a target on her back for a lot of heroes, because I can see Buff Blocker being used a lot more, even with heroes with Boom Buster, Deadpool with any of the other X-Force alts, Hulkbuster and other AOU members, and my favorite of the bunch, Deathlok, who has an all-area attack with Boom Buster, remove buffs, and with his personal AISO, he applies Despair. Yikes! Another debuff that could come into play is Mangled, which stops enemies from using buff and heal effects. Characters like Gamora, Wolverine, and even the recently added Morbius can definitely work around stopping her from using those abilities. Ladies and gents, I thank you all for coming in and listening. It sure does feel good to be back. Even when I know new content is here when I'm not around, but I hope all this information helped you out in some way. I know that I need to catch up on a lot of spreadsheet builds, but in order for me to do so, I've got to figure out how to get internet on my parents' 2001 Windows XP computer. That, or I stop being a cheapskate and buy my own. But hey, I'll figure that out. Until next time, stay safe and happy hunting.
So, apparently him walking away did bring some new content.
No
to the
kidding.
Game.
Yeah. I'm playing it right now and I'm able to switch into the flight suit and
that was very impressive animation too, wasn't it?
It was pretty cool. Yeah. Let me step away and get into my flight suit.
Yeah, boom, it just jumps right in. The graphic for the Switch is awesome. Mm-hmm. And DJ Druzicki 420 says, so can somebody show the fights on the screen? Only person could would be Ibbit right now because he can control that side of it.
Sure.
You can
I'm going to switch over to the the Coverville screen.
Okay.
This is Coverville live from the Helicarrier.
So far
I'm already in the flight suit though, so I'll need to switch out and switch back in.
So yeah, you get a whole different weapon set with it. It's definitely interesting. Of course, this Infiltrator was the only one we've gotten mm-hmm. so far.
Right.
Not even sure but how to like load it out.
There's going to be a way to unlock them. So yeah, you've got a beam cannon, and all these rely on power drain. Like they drain a certain amount of power, and then once you're out of power, then your flight suit, you're back to your regular sad self. So the 10% power drain is the beam cannon. It's a stealthy attack. Coddles, rattles, exhausted, flustered, and perplexed. Second one is pop smoke. It's an all ally buff that quick action turns on counterattacks when an ally is attacked, and concealment grabs a 50% chance to avoid single target attacks, kind of like Storm's snowstorm deal. Full assault is the third one. All enemy attack power drain of 40% on this one. But in exchange for that, you get disable, disadvantage, blindside, and distraction on all four enemies. And then the last one is property damage. It's your exploit. Basically, you get your boon buster, your exploit protection, exploit shields, and it's a stealthy attack. It drains 30% of your deal and only works on one enemy. So let's take out Brawler with that one. And I think that should... Nope, I still have a little bit of power left. Let's see what happens here. It's a great look. Such a huge...
Yeah. Now,
so the question is, how does the AI do? You know, like, is the AI... You know,
right.
All right, this is something I was going to write off as something we would never see in the game.
I think it's fair enough to say that we have written that off in the past, saying that it will never happen. Here's what the suit does itself. Now, these are... You'll see this if you hover
passives.
Over the passives. If you hover over the symbol, which is great. It's like insert coin into the butt crack of the suit. That's what the symbol says. If you look at it, you see what I'm saying. All right, it's a free action, of course, to change it to its single use. Can only be used once per combat. The shield mech armor allows an agent to suit up with shield mech armor. Shield mech armor comes equipped with a separate health pool and the new actions that replace currently equipped gear actions. Agent cannot exit the mech armor once it is equipped. So this is a lifeline. This is going to change.
It's like
everything.
Right. An extra life button.
Yes. Countermeasures. Chance to... this is also a passive. Countermeasures. Chance to interrupt enemy counterattacks and follow-up attacks. Ghosting. Chance to enter ghost mode, making all attacks stealthy. Ghost mode grants a chance to evade attacks. Hard shell times 2 receives less damage from enemy attacks, resistant to critical hits. Full tank shield mech armor power level starts at 100%. So that's the passives on it. So yeah, I mean, once you put that suit is so huge. And
did
badass.
You already say hard shell?
Yeah,
because I think the joke is ghost in the shell is the joke.
Oh,
they're going
can go
for
enter
there.
Ghost mode. Yeah, a ghost in shell. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
That's what they're.
Wow, this is
it's pretty cool.
This is something else, man. It's an extra life without a doubt because you get your own health and your own energy on it, and then when the energy runs out, you're back to normal. But you'll come back with full health and full energy.
Right.
This is
interesting. It's crazy.
I'm gonna use this exploit shields now because I'm fighting against a BR Delta that has shields. It did not exploit it enough. Thank you very much.
Not sure how you're seeing the hold on, I'm going to use this 40, the big attack, just to see me run out of energy and come back out of the suit. Okay. A little bit of a freeze artifact in there. Yeah, I can't exit the suit until I run out of energy, so let's see what happens here.
Which is an interesting twist.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can ISO it up with whatever you'd want to ISO up a suit for your particular battle style, but the EISOs that go on it, it does, of course, being infiltrator, it does take any of the infiltrator ones, plus any of the ones that your agent has anyway, you know, like the one specific for your agent, and of course, general use as well. I didn't even see what these attacks count as. I don't know what just happened because I wasn't paying that much attention. But I just had a whole lot of follow-up attacks. I'm trying to talk about them. It's like, whoa. Somebody, and of course, I'm still using Fiza and Tim, man. I love Tim to death. He's my favorite.
Tim.
Taskmaster. Yeah. we're on first name terms.
Oh, are you? Oh, that's cool. Oh, I'm about to lose Jane Foster.
He hates when I call him Tasky, so I have to call him Tim.
All right. So apparently I still actually have 20% energy in here. Now I should be out of it. So, Oh no, yes, you reset power, you recharge adds 30% back. So is it after the suit is destroyed that you come back?
I don't think it comes back. Now I was reading those off of the swap before I swap. So you know you go to your rest, mm-hmm. right? And there's a little arrow up and you hover and it gives you right. your choice.
Oh, see, and that one I didn't read, so I need to.
And that's where I was getting that list from. And I don't know if it'll come back before I get out of this fight. Because there's no swap back, right?
Right, right. I was thinking that once your suit's destroyed, then you come back. I'm going to try and die in the suit to see what happens. So I'm just going to recharge at this point.
Die in both. Die. And DJ Drewski 420 is Drew DePoe, yeah. who is in our Agents Only Lounge and has been a huge supporter of what we do. And I didn't recognize because he usually goes by Agent Blade. And that's what threw me off. He put in his other name or whatever.
Again, recharging because I'm out of energy.
It does nothing really, if you're at max stamina.
Right.
No, Agent P3, all he asks, are all the flight suits available? No. Technically, they're in the research, but they are locked until you earn the blueprint. And originally, that was going to be PvP. We don't know how it's going to be now. Dude, I've been blasting away with the suit. I still have full stamina.
Yeah. I think it operates off of energy, your suit energy, not stamina. So I think the way you do this is you switch into this when you are close to dying in the regular business, or actually even better, when you're almost out of stamina in the regular attack. And then you, it's funny, Blue Marvel's counterattack is going to actually do all the damage for me and finish this fight, but I'm trying to just trying to recharge on both just to, oh my God, the concealment action on the suit, or the fact that I've got concealment is just, it's making them miss every shot. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Okay, Blue Marvel's almost dead. There we go. Another attack on me. Oh, I should have done this earlier.
So it actually does not say anything about coming out of the suit. It does say agent cannot exit the mech armor once it is equipped.
Right. I think you go into it and you stay in it until the end. If you die, it's like Dream World in Nightmare on Elm Street. You die in the dream, you die in real life. So you die in the suit, you're out.
That actually, I love what you're saying about that being their lifeline. So, I have no hair. My agent just did an attack, and she's bald as all get out right now.
Nice.
And every once in a while, the suit flashes in. And I'm not using the suit. I was going to do what you're saying about my health runs low and then jump into the suit. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. So you die in the suit, you're dead. It's not, all right, suit's done. You don't may your way out of the suit. You're not may. Trying to think of the Overwatch character. I can't think of the girl in the pink suit. Once her mech dies, she climbs out of it and starts running around, and she can attack that way. But no, not like that at all. So mech suit is use it when you're, I would say actually use it when you're out of, D.Va. Thank you, Dr. Drewski. Use it when you're almost out of stamina, because basically everything that you do in the suit is stamina free.
Yeah. We got one more piece of audio where we're going to continue to play with this, and then we'll move on. This came from SpeakPipe. It is Agent Titan, I believe it was. I saw the name. Let's see here. Where are you? I've already clicked on audio. I'm letting it spin up while we do this.
Sure.
Where's the email from SpeakPipe? Because it had his name in the email. I hope he'll probably say it on the actual call, too. I believe it's Agent Titan. I think I actually archived it already. Dang it. All right. Come on, audio. Oh. Ha ha. That time was my fault. It spun up. I had to mute it.
Hey guys, Agent Titus here. I was just leaving a message to let you guys know that because the PvP tournament finished today, and I was opening my canisters tonight when I had a chance to sit down, and lo and behold, I got Deathlock. Nice. This is a surprise because I only made it to like level 20. This tournament started out kind of rough because I was doing the task for Captain America 1901, and I was winning one, losing one, winning one, losing one. Really didn't endear me to continue on. But last week, my agent hit level 30. I got Iron Man up to level 30. I got Iron Fist and Wasp to level 30, and so I tried PvP again, and it actually became a little bit more playable. I could win two or three or four in a row as opposed to just win, lose, win, lose. So I actually managed to get up a little bit. But man, was I surprised when I opened just a canister and I got Deathlock on such a low level. Holy cow, can you imagine that? Anyway, I thought I'd leave a message then so you guys could spread the word that it does happen. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Chad. Now that is indeed for MAA 2. Right. But since we're not really going to be able to do a deuce today anyway, there you go. So for MAA 2, real quick. We've been theorizing that you could indeed get the hero out of those canisters, and other people had said, yeah, they think you can, or they've read that you can. I don't know. But apparently you can. So there you go. That's how that works. Thank you, Titus, for leaving that message. And so I guess now we are on to emails.
Yes. And I just lost my – oh, crap. I lost my notes. Sorry, I'm opening them back up.
The flight suit crashed your notes.
Kind of did, yeah.
Well, I will jump in with Avril here.
Why don't you try the first one, and I'll be in there in 5 seconds. I'm actually in there right now. I could read now.
Oh, fine then. You read now. Do that.
All right, Agent Avril says, oink, oink, losers. Not now, Spider-Ham. Anyway, greetings, FTH. Agent Avril here. How have you been? I'm inclined to think Playdom thinks they can change me into my lab and just take my ideas without asking. I'd probably charge into my lab, change me into my lab. I had an EISO for stopping Doom and Despair Ready. I was going to call it the hopeful EISO, but no, let's create Faiza Hussein. Don't get me wrong. She's incredibly fun to use. I just wish I didn't feel like I was being hacked by Hydra every month. Maybe I should consult a hero about that. I know Tony's busy. So are Hank and Chala, but I could ask Victor. He's bright, right? Meanwhile, I have a thought about the coming story. It would not surprise me if before season 2 ends, we have Odin himself as an opponent, considering the revelation of his actions during the Black Vortex Spec Ops. Challenging the Allfather may be the toughest battle we'll face if it should come to that. Also, due to his actions, that possibly limits the kinds of Spec Ops that heroes can join until he unseals the planet again. Don't we still have a spider totem problem to conclude? Okay, Ham, that's your cue. I'm the Sportacular Spider Ham. Much better. Okay, I'm off. I feel like a BLT. What's a BLT? Agent Avril. Listen, these would be great if Charles and I were doing these together as like improv class, yeah, then we'd be all over it. Okay, I'm off. I feel like a BLT. Oh, yeah, I did that part already. Agent Avril, P.S., coiling AISO constrictor, lightning lash adds crackle and restrain to this attack. Oh, don't worry. Playdom's on the track. They will have that done before too long, too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It just goes to show we've talked about them taking your ideas and I don't know if he had already talked about that EISO, but he's got a lot of great ideas for these things. And and it works good on Faiza. I really dig it.
Yeah.
So I would still take the EISO for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It leaves the flexibility.
Now, here's a little thing. Two things that I noticed. One I noticed. Of course, we know about Null. And if you put the lethal EISO, I think it is, where it puts Despair on a debuff. Right, so on Null, he has that 6-level power, which is his shoulder shrug, where you're not worthy. It hits everybody. I put Lethal on that, as most people do, and you put Despair on the whole team, blah. I actually saw somebody put the Vampiric, whichever one, I don't remember what it's called, but the one that gives you Vampiric on a debuff. And so when he shrugs, the whole team loses health, and he gains 3 stacks of health. It's like, that's pretty genius. It makes a debuff work like the signpost.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So that was something I noticed. But with Faiza.
Force of Life Blade, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And with Faiza, I decided to put, because she has the second level where she controls somebody, she holds them, that's mm-hmm. considered a debuff. So I put the lethal on that, and it's so much fun. If you watch the show, Miranda, you can find it on Hulu, it's on the BBC, but it's such fun because you go through the simulator, you go against two bosses at the same time. As soon as I take out one boss, Pfizer just holds the other one in place. They can't heal, so when the lizard pops up, he can't be healing, and mm-hmm. they can't attack. And it's you should think about that. It's really cool. So going to the email, Agent Reynolds says, "Hey, FDH, Agent Commander Reynolds here. I have two questions to ask. If you can't read both and answer the best question. One, I was wondering as to why MAA-1 doesn't have a skip dialogue button as MAA-2 has. It could be a drop button similar to hovering over a multifunction ability. Instead, we have to continually press a button. And if we forgot to do something before starting a mission, we have to click out the mission. We have to, we get the point where you're
saying pain in the butt, yeah.
So to answer that, Ibbett, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's a flash restriction, and there's just so much other more important fires to put out, perhaps?
I don't know if it's a flash restriction, but they just haven't added that ability yet, and it just would be, I think they could easily do it. It's just like a loop where they could say, all right, have they gone through this before? Like, do they have a score on this mission? If so, then yeah, give me a skip button on the dialogue box. So, it'd be nice to have. I wish it did.
Yeah.
I use it all the time, but again, it would also be nice if MA1 had autoplay.
Yeah. I think Napalm TV is saying MAA-1 doesn't have skip because they retcon the stories.
Oh, right. So they could change the stories. So you might not see the same story you did the first time you went through that mission.
Yeah, maybe.
That's hilarious.
That's, okay. Yeah. All right. So the second question, I wanted to know, since there will no longer have new X-Men or Fantastic Four characters in game, who do you think is needed as a character who can bring something entirely different to the game? I'd like to see Warpath. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Blink, Namor, mm-hmm. obviously.
Blink would be fantastic.
See, Warpath is an X-Men, right?
Right.
So we can't have Warpath.
Blink is a mutant.
Blink's a mutant. Hope Summers is a mutant.
These are all characters that are, well, not all, but a lot of these characters are X-Men related or Fantastic Four related.
Well, it's very hard to not be either in the Marvel Universe, to be honest.
Sure.
Jubilee, Robbie Baldwin, more.
I'm fine without Jubilee. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. More. Yeah. I think I felt like I got a tribute to Jubilee in Nico. So we're all right.
Right.
More Young Avengers, Tiger Shark. Yeah, Young Avengers would be great. Tiger Shark mm-hmm. would be fun. Later, Deathstrike, Claw, Atuma, and Martyr to name. Well, we're getting Martyr. There you go. A version of Martyr anyway.
Give me Impossible Man. If we're lifting the restrictions of the Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four and X-Men, then give me Impossible Man, because I think he'd be so damn fun.
Now, Speedball was the original Martyr, right? And after Civil War.
Did he penance? I thought
penance. Was, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I got that wrong. I knew. That's why I asked. I thought there was something quite a little off with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never, ever, ever want to see penance in the game. I thought that was just. It was such a weird and stupid turn for that character, in my opinion. After every great thing they did with Civil War and how they're doing, and then this little. It literally was just an add-on, one-off story about finishing up his time in prison, and yeah, I don't know. It's whatever. I didn't like it. Character. I always get a Sentinel. I mean, I just can't not
Sentry.
Damn it! Mm-hmm. I said Sentinel earlier today. Sentry. Mm-hmm. Sentry would be
fantastic. Yeah.
You've got this next email, and apparently there's other stuff going on in the game I'm going to research real quick here.
Okay, you're going to find out about those EISOs?
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, Agent Kostadin says, "Hello, FTH, the agent that," insert funny thing here, "writes in from the country home of the guy that invented computers, I think. Welcome back to MAA What If, Part 4. Today we explore the idea of the weekly..." Hold on. That was a stage direction. There was stage direction in the thing. "Today we explore the idea of the weekly boss. This idea is my most thought out one. The boss would be like a group boss with the fact that it gives you silver, but everybody that will fight the same boss. The boss won't have health, but instead two bars that will fill the more damage you do. The first one will be measuring how much damage you've done, while the other will be measuring the global total. There'll be perks along the way. The perk will have to be reached on the global bar before you can get it. For example, for perk 1, you need to do 10,000 damage, but to claim it, the global bar must be at 100,000 damage. This won't be easy because you can only use each hero once per boss, which I think brings balance. The more heroes you have, the more silver you need. This boss, if not evident by the title, will appear every week. The fight will require no energy. Your heroes will be your energy. There can be special ones also. For example, the boss can be Rhino, and the final perk will be recruiting him. Why so much of my sentences begin with T? That's all for this week. P.S. Hopefully I also have MA2 email this week. Also, I'm always in the chat until September because the stream is from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. for me. Bye. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Agent Costin. I love that idea. I played them. Here's $50 if you implement this. Yeah. Give us a weekly boss that is a silver pinata, basically, but give us challenges that we have to complete. So it's not just, all right, here's your free silver. It's like, all right, if you and your teammates get them this far, your allies get them this far, then you get this. If you get them this far, then you get this bonus stuff. Love mm-hmm. that idea.
I know other games. One in particular I'm thinking of is Marvel's Puzzle Quest, where Galactus comes into battle. And it's not teams, it's the entire world. Every player that's playing, there's like a 100 million point value to Galactus. And so everybody goes up. And you already have your alliances and stuff that are essentially teams in the game anyway. Oh, God, this is such a cheesy graphic. We'll talk about it in a second. Okay. But the whole world is fighting against this incursion, right? This massive threat. And there are rounds. And it goes in 8-hour shifts. So round one, I think, is 8 hours, maybe 12, and then round two. And then each round gets longer because they're harder to do and there's more points there. And it's such a great idea that I dig it. Because then you don't have to put – we don't have teams in MAA1, right?
Right, right.
We only have our alliances, and even then those are fast and loose, if you will. But if you did a global threat where every player in the game adds to getting those markers done – that would be interesting.
Totally. All right, so these new EISOs, I'm looking at them right now.
Cutesy little smiley faces on them.
Do they really?
Only on the front page. On the front news spin, it says limited time only. And yes, there's ISOs in an arc, and they all have, they're holding hands, stick figure hands, and smiling. And I clicked on it to go directly into the sale. But go ahead and read off, sir.
Hold on. Now I've got to go back and look at the news feed picture. Apparently it was done after I refreshed because, I have no items in promotions. I have no items. I've just got Fiza is the only thing. So let me refresh.
Yeah, I don't have any items listed below, but I definitely had that screenshot. It took me to page 23 of 57 in the EISOs.
Right, but they're not. Yeah, I mean, that's just because there's already a bunch of EISOs. Am I right that they're all 20 gold?
50% off sale.
Okay.
So whatever, it ranges, obviously. I have yet to hit a page of new EISO yet.
It looks like they've the ones I'm seeing are in the have the halo background to them. Okay. Now I'm seeing now I'm seeing the smiley face stuff. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
There, now I found it. All right, so I'm on the same page as you are.
Cool. All right, let's get to these. And I'm going to pull it up. So if you just go to the class restricted ISO, all of these are class restricted.
And very quickly, thank you, Playdom. Thank you for dropping this stuff right in the middle of the show. Absolutely appreciate this.
I take that back. They're not all. Okay, so hold on. No, there's the discount. There's the sale ones that are all 20 gold or 10 gold or 15 gold,
sure.
50% off. But it looks like there's a bunch of new ones in the I don't remember some of these. Oh, yeah, and some of them are brand new and on sale.
Yeah. So I had to narrow it down to class restricted ISO. It's the only thing I found saying, the backgrounds on.
Right.
And then they're on sale as well. But like this first one I found is Master Fighter Empowered ISO 8 for a scrapper. Melee attacks increase attack and defense stacks 10 times. Spitfire has her name.
So yeah, destructive means empowered ISO 8. Single target attacks have a chance to splash damage. Makes your next action unable to be interrupted. That's Blaster. There's one for Tactician. Starts combat with a shield that absorbs. We've seen that before, but attacks and recharge reapplies the patchwork shield that regenerates health and stamina. Damn. Bloodsport empowered for scrapper. Bleeding increases damage dealt. Another good one for Spitfire. Insult to injury. Follow-up attacks apply reduced potential. Man, there are
so many
a ton
here.
Of them. 15,
let's count the 23, cool.
23, 30 brand new. It looks like 30 brand new ones.
That sounds about right, according to what I'm looking at, too. And they are class-specific. Man, this one on page 3 that I was just looking at, Fleet Feet empowered ISO-8. For a bruiser, chance to get an extra turn when attacked. Chance for a follow-up attack after a single target attack. That's it. Not remember, we already had the one that's protecting. Chance to get a big and fast. Chance to get an extra turn when you're defending somebody else. Nope, this is just if you get attacked, you might get a follow-up attack, or you might get an extra turn. This is so good stuff.
Well, guess who's using all the gold he bought at the most recent gold sale just to go down the line and pick up all these while they're on sale?
Guess who's not going to be able to pick up loot crate box this month?
Can I buy a bundle? I just want a bundle. Can you give me a bundle, Platum?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And it resets every time you...
The order does that.
As soon as you buy one, it says, "Are you sure you want to spend 10 gold on this?" And you click yes, or you click buy, and it goes to the all ISO tab, and then you have to go back to class restricted ISO, and then you have to go back to the page.
I got you. Now, how is this different than the one we already have? It's called Dim Reflection. Start for Infiltrator. Starts combat with mirror image. Takes reduced damage from counterattacks and follow-up attacks. I guess it's adding that second dot. Take reduced damage from counterattacks and follow-up attacks. So it's putting Yukimi and the one that does the mirror image together in one EISO. That's what that's doing. Mm-hmm. Somebody here says Mighty Warrior. I'm going to look that one up real quick if I can find it. Mighty Warrior empowered. Bruiser begins combat with Sacred. Single target attacks gain determination attack. I don't know what determination attack is. I forget what sacred is. Holy crap. We could spend a whole episode just digging through these.
You're right. Exactly.
So what we're going to do is let the experts dig through them and give us a summarized list for next week. That would be helpful.
Perfect. I like that idea a lot.
Holy crap. Plan B for a blaster. Recharge restores some health and adds a shield that absorbs damage and greatly increases attack. This is some crazy stuff here, man.
Yeah, totally.
Anadou, I think, put in. PD says, we help you win. Mystic Defense, somebody put in here. So here it is. Single target attacks now gain power draining shield. Takes reduced damage while shield is up. Chance to summon elite eye bites when attacked and applies doom. And that's for a blaster. Wow. All right. I'm going to have to stop now. Is there one more you want to look at
that I want to highlight? No, because I'm looking at all these, and every time I buy one, I have to go back to the. These are I haven't read any of these, so I'm just gonna pick them up and read them afterwards.
All right, so back to the email. It looks like I am on Arenos. Hey, host, it's Agent Arenos. This is my first email. Oranos, probably. Sorry, I put my son on it.
Oranos.
This is my first email, and I hope it gets a shout out in this upcoming episode. Now you've ruined it. I can't read it now. Sorry. I thought actually he'd written in before. I know. We've seen him in the chat room all the time, assumed. The topic, mystical munitions in the Lost Pages of Ashanti. As the veteran players have long known, the two most powerful items of the game earliest days have been gone for some time. I think that the Lost Pages of Ashanti, which heals the whole team and removes debuffs, and the Mystical Munition, which puts Dark Void, Death Frost, and Soulfire, and does a healthy chunk of damage onto a single enemy, should make a comeback into the game. These two items used to be found in the Ally gift section as well as used to be in Ally maps. The two items also were the bread and butter of newer players as they helped them in story mode and spec ops against tough battles. And yes, even veteran 300-plus level players still have uses for them. I actually still have some pages of Ashanti in my collection, and every once in a while I do pull them out and use it for sure.
Nice.
He says, I can state with confidence that if these two items came back, there would be a boost in newer player morale and overall satisfaction, even if they are only brought back for a limited time, like a whole month. Well, there are items now and even weapons and hero moves that can duplicate mystical munitions and Ashanti page effects. Nothing comes close to seeing your team that is on the verge of being wiped out in a tough battle getting their second wind with a Ashanti page saving the day, as well as a mystical munition chopping down a tough boss that is hitting your team hard. What does everyone think? I think it's time to bring back the two items and revive the game that, let's face it, have been suffering in the satisfaction department. I hope everyone is having a blast, Agent Oronis.
Yeah, I like those. I mean, you know, it's not PvP, so there's not an issue of like, oh man, you know, I haven't been playing as long, so I don't have those. But right. I mean, if you're using them for spec ops and the regular chapters, then well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they were definitely my jam from 200 to 300.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Back when they dropped all the time, I just used them. That was my go-to weapon, right? You have a now we have different right. loadouts that we use all the time. No, mine right. was make sure I have those. Have I collected from my friends today? Because I need to have those in my items bag right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
for sure. That'd yeah. be cool. I think you're right, Oronos. That I feel so stupid saying it now. I don't know why, but I think if they brought it back, you would see a spike in lower level players having more fun with it for sure.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Cool. All right.
Next up is Agent Tarma, who says, hey, FTH host and fellow listeners, props to the host for pronouncing Tarma correctly. It's a name that is almost very often mispronounced. Things are kind of slow right now, but if I can be selfish for a moment, I'm 100% okay with that. I'll be attending Gen Con later this week, and I would enjoy the event without having to worry about potentially missing out on a lockbox character or a group boss. This week for Here Comes a New Challenger. I've got a character that is fairly new and could yet be a great fit for the game. New to their relative introduction, there isn't a lot that can be discussed about the character. Fortunately, I only need to say the following to explain all you need to know. This character is the only character who would even think of marrying Deadpool, and that is Sheikla.
Okay.
Introduced as a succubus betrothed to Dracula, things quickly go the only way they can for Mr. Wilson, which is downhill. Sheikla and Wade quickly become close, with Wade's inability to die appealing to Sheikla. After a run-in with the one and only Blade in our favorite Bumblebee suits, Sheikla and Wade tie the knot and live happily ever after, at least until the most recent Secret Wars. As a succubus, we've already got a template for Sheikla in the game. With some modifications, she can get the moves of the succubus NPCs and open up abilities such as Hell Hath No Fury to the players. If she has that move and is already an infiltrator, the damage potential is huge. Or, as a supernatural creature, she could get two turns around. While we already have a few characters that get two turns around, all of them have a scrapper variant and none of them are infiltrators. An infiltrator that gets two turns every round creates a lot of possibilities for Sheikla. It's time to get back to training while I prepare for the next bombardment of missions. See everyone next week, Agent Tarma. For reference, information on Sheikla can be found at the Wikia. Just go to marvelwikia.com and do a search for Sheikla, S-H-I-K-L-A-H.
We had enough problems saying Fiza. I can't say Sheikla all the time. That sounds so
what
weird.
A pile of Sheikla.
I thought, okay, is Ibbet picking on somebody because they misspelled something again, and then you kept doing like, nope, because I was working on game stuff.
I might be mispronouncing, but I'm thinking yeah. it's Sheikla.
I would pronounce it Sheikla. That's how yeah. exactly I would pronounce it. It's just interesting. Now, I also, and of course, there are many storylines out there for sure, but I thought that Deadpool was obsessed with death and vice versa. So is
Thanos,
this a version
Thanos
of that?
Was obsessed with death.
No, like the death. Like, didn't Deadpool fall in love with the female
no,
death?
That's who I'm talking about. Is okay. Thanos had the Thanos has the crush on death.
Okay.
I don't know if Deadpool did as well though.
I thought I had read or heard something on that side. It doesn't matter. Sheikla. I mean, it sounds like a great character, and thank you, Tarma, for adding that in. So I've got this super long email to read. So everybody, buckle up here.
All right.
Agent Osinico writes in, happy birthday, Agent Emmett.
Oh.
The end.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's literally the email.
That's awesome. Thank you, Agent Osinico. It was really all set to just, all right, relax and... And that's funny because I had the death page up and I was looking to see if Deadpool. Gun Kid says yes. Yeah. About
Kurt Stable says the same thing as you.
Yeah,
Deadpool's not even met death.
Okay.
Well, me and Gun Kid say you're wrong.
All right. Well, find a link. Point us to the right thing.
The Deadpool game. That's there not actually go. Canon though. So, well, that might be exactly where I remember it from. That's not exactly considered canon, I don't imagine.
Cool. All right. Special Agent P3 wrote in. That's Phil Ramos III for all of you. Greetings, FTH crew and members, and to all agents listening. Once again, we are in a content drought, and although I'm confident this drought will end soon, I'm left wondering what other new content Playdom can give us during future droughts. One idea I have is that I would like to have a way to build customizable missions that we can five-star, meaning that Playdom would give us the ability to fight any thugs or bosses we like and the ability to farm them for XP, silver, gold, and CP. Imagine creating a three-wave boss fight with bosses you know your team beat or can at least be challenged by. For me, this would be an excellent way to kill time during content drops like now. What are your thoughts on this? Note, I would not recommend doing this in the simulator as it seems to be broken when it comes to bosses. Ever since the class simulator training was launched last November, all other simulator missions only hand out 1 XP per boss fought. The same thing now happens during the daily missions too, and although I heard this was intentional by Playdom, I can't believe that this is true. Sincerely, Phil Ramos III, aka Special Agent P3 at maatimes.com. P.S. Happy birthday, Brian Ibbett. All right. Well, thank you. I think it is intentional. I think anywhere they had you fighting bosses, whether it's the daily mission or the simulator,
Jim Brewer,
you were only going to get 1 XP for it. And, but they didn't do that. That's, you know, they didn't do that for 112 too, did they? Do you still get full XP for doing 112 too?
You I believe you do. Is what you used to get. The first battle is like 400 and something, and the second battle is 300 and something. So you end up with something 700 like or 800 XP total. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it's just anything from chapter 2 forward. But I really do like that idea. So basically, you'd get a checklist, right? That you could kind of like when you send your group boss to allies, you'd get a checklist showing you all of the available villains, and you choose 9 of them, and then you get 3 waves of 3 villains that you can pick a team to fight. I like that.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, and especially if we can get some good XP out of it, that gives me a reason. I mean, when they put all that XP into the simulator, that made it a much better place to play. Sure. Still hard as crap to get the resources you need. Playing the simulator, but you know, it's neither here nor there, I guess.
Right. Right. A whole different complaint, but no, I like that idea. Very cool.
Agreed. All right. Going on to my email here. Agent CK7 says from the Helicarrier 152, the we've just received Johto National Pokedex edition. Chikorita, right? You know, on that note, let's take a second to say, hey, we are the proud hosts of a new show that's actually, well, for us, it's a new show. It's been out there for almost for about 8 months now. Anyway, since December, that Bo put up from the Podastery Network called Pokemon Go Podcast. And, of course, the game just launched. If you're playing Pokemon Go, you can now hear Brian Ibbett and myself, along with Joe Ard and Bo York and other rotational hosts, doing the Pokemon Go podcast, and it is a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. So go check that out at PokemonGoPodcast.com. We're having a great time, and it's such a fun thing.
We are, and it's the number one, or it was for a while, the number one video game podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, it currently is like number 32, which is still really good. Well, if you consider...
That's it, I'm done. I'm totally done with it. Forget it. No more.
All right. But no, it's honestly a blast. And you guys, if you love our style, which I know we've had some, Mila, remember Mila? One of our favorite people in the Agents Only Lounge. She stopped playing the game, so we don't get to interact with her anymore, but I still see her as a friend on Facebook. She started talking about Pokemon Go. I'm like, hey, guess what? Emma and I are doing the Pokemon Go podcast. She's like, oh, and she jumped right back in, you know. So if you like her style, nice. But you don't, you know, if you know friends who play the Pokemon that don't play this game, please share that. We'd love that. All right. Thank you for giving me that in CK7. So here we go. AJCK7 here says, the joke about the neutralized impaired changes are a reference to 2 weeks ago when everyone was complaining about the PvP changes to those debuffs and the exploitation bugs. Okay. So he's filling in. Last week, we read an email where he was referring something, and you went, I'm not sure what you're referring to. Oh, can you put in what you're referring to? So now he's referring to what he's referring to when he referred to it.
Great. You know what?
This is becoming meta, man. Mm-hmm. With the Wub Wub device, yeah, I know it's the Wob Wub, but Wub Wub is better, and I agree. Yeah.
Wubba Wubba.
Are we going to get the Hypno Hustler as a Lockbox character? But wait, did the Circle of Eight kill him? That's a nice reference because I've totally forgotten about the Circle of Eight and how many weird people they killed in the whole first season. So I don't know the answer to that.
That's right. Yeah, every mission began with somebody discovering some new dead superheroes, some, you know, D-listers and stuff. But yeah. Still, yeah.
All right. Do you think we'll ever see Raid, which is R-A-I-D, all in initials there, again, or did we take them all out in season one? I don't remember Raid in season one. Man, it's been so long. If you stop and think about it, it's been so long since season one, really, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And are there any other season one enemies that never showed up again? You know, they're all in the simulator, so I don't know. Man, that's a good question. Stop asking hard stuff, man. Get back to the fun stuff. Also, with the Wub Wub, remember with Rally, which is Captain Marvel, Baby Groot, the Mark of the Brotherhood, mutants only, you could make the sonic acceleration portion of the gear a quick action. And with Night America's War Stories, you can just ignore the starting cooldown entirely. Interesting. About the Pokey segment, Gorgon is one of my favorite heroes to use, but I just haven't found the right place for him. That was Pokemon last week did the Gorgon breakdown. Mm-hmm. So how many months will we have to wait for a gold sale item that gives inspiration to the agent? And then a hero right after that causes creatively bankrupt, prevents inspiration effects from applying. In the psychic hand, I know the Lantern of Doom and some of the others, but
yeah,
I thought one of the more recent gold sale weapons. So you buy gold and you get the weapon, right? I thought it did put on despair and doom, and then of course Faiza comes in right after or very soon after and says, "Nope, you can't do doom or despair."
Right? Yes.
Yeah, and that was is it called the Psychic Fist? Whatever the fist was that came with the last gold sale, I believe that did put on despair and doom. I don't know. All right. About Anado's segment. You know you could give Iceman Inceptive Protection, but then you don't have enough room for the Elite ISO on his Death alt. You could also try the Spirit Blade with Iceman and hope he gets called to protect. Yeah, we do need something to allow a hero to protect as a gear item.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the perfect companion to a Bob hero release. Not sure what the gear would
Deadpool
be called.
Deadpool Bob?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Okay, so here's the breakdown of Bob. Sniveling Coward Tactical Retreat. Subtle buff. I'm right behind you, honest. Forces hero to protect against all attacks against the agent. That would be interesting.
That's cool. So basically it would be like the Mind Link. Was that it? The one that Phoenix has that she can indicate any hero Phoenix to be the protecting? That, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So what Guardian of the Galaxy heroes do you think are coming next? With Martyr being released in PvP, do you think we'll get more? Where's my Warlock, man? I'm honestly, I love the movie. And I saw the movie before I ever read a single Guardian of the Galaxy comic. I'm a filthy casual that way. I was familiar slightly. I'd heard of them, but I was not fully aware. And then when I read the comics, I went, oh, my God, where's Adam Warlock? How the hell did you do a movie without this amazing, powerful character? And I had been familiar with Adam Warlock through the other years of reading comics. I never read him directly, but his role in the Guardians of the Galaxy and that whole first storyline that they did, that they pulled a lot of stuff from for the movie. I could not. I'm one of those retroactive comic book snobs now. I'm like, how dare you? How dare you do this movie without? And they did Ronan wrong in the movie too, but that's neither here nor there. So Warlock should come next.
Warlock. I still want the crystallized dude. Is that Charlie 27? Or is that Martin X?
I can't remember the name of him, but it's the same race that was featured in Hulk. Planet Hulk, rather. Planet this one. Okay.
Right. Oh, no. You know who I want? I will tell you exactly who I want. Bug, who was originally a Micronaut. So back in the 80s, around the time, or it was before Transformers, before GoBots, was it Hasbro came out with these toys called Micronauts.
Yeah.
And I collected all of them, man. I'd buy a Tron and Microtron and Time Traveler and Galactic Defender and all these guys. And Marvel came out with a comic version of Micronauts and included a bunch of the major characters, a Croyer and Galactic Defender was Arcturus Rand, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right.
Mike Golden did the artwork in that original run. And along with the characters that were based on the toys, they added a woman whose name was Marionette, and they added another character named Bug. And Bug looked like a humanized, humanoid version of a grasshopper. And he's in the second version of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the second iteration of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And because he's not a toy, it seems like Marvel has the ownership on him and can use him in Guardians of the Galaxy, because there was never a toy based on Bug.
I would take it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like the idea. Somebody was saying about Adam Warlock that he was in it, but he's an Easter egg. I haven't seen any references to him in the collector scene. And I've heard about Guardians 2 that he might show up, but it might be in the Stinger. I'm like, come on, man. I'm just saying. Come on, man. That's all I can say.
Christabel brings up rocket tubes. I had one of those. It was like a set, a Micronaut set with these hexagonal plastic tubes and a fan. And it was like Habit Trail for Micronauts. But the fan would blow them all around. And like there was curves and
that's kinda cool.
And stuff like that. It was so cool. Went off to college. And again, you know, this stuff kind of sat in the back of my closet after I kind of grew out of them. Went off to college and my parents threw out all of that stuff. Yes. So, I mean, they're thinking is, well, he's, you know, 17 or 18 now. And I hadn't played with it for years. It was like, it was all that stuff in, you know, in
not
boxes.
Not the point, Mom.
Exactly. All that stuff. Oh, my God. It was just so, so cool.
I don't know.
All that stuff got thrown out.
I threw up my own stuff by accident.
Did you?
Well, I by accident, because I didn't know. It was much like putting weapons in my armory in the early days of the game. I was like, oh, I'm done with toys.
James DeBear says Micronauts are going to be in a universe with G.I. Joe and Rom. This is true. There's actually a Hasbro cinematic universe that's going to have G.I. Joe, Micronauts, and Rom. However, James DeBear, Bug is a Marvel licensed character. It's not part of the Micronauts toys industry owned by Takara Company Limited. So Bug can appear in any Marvel property they want.
Now, Drew is poking at me a little bit, but he wants to know that you remember, do you know Night Thrasher?
Night Thrasher. I don't by name. So let me take a look at Night Thrasher.
Yeah, 'cause he's like, I know you don't, Charles. Like, you're right. That's not the point.
Night Thrasher. I'm looking at the pictures right now. Wow, no, I don't recognize this character at all, though it looks like it is exactly from the era that I was collecting comics.
Mask. I remember Mask. I had so many masks.
Mask, right?
Our very own Chris Wisdom will love to see a mask.
Is that the wrestler, the little wrestlers?
No, Mask is... vehicles were important, and they literally had a helmet that had a mask on it, and MASK stood for something. It's like a spy superhero kind of organization. I don't think they had powers. I'm not super. Chris Wisdom needs to come on and tell you about MASK, man. But no, they were human beings in suits with weapons and cool vehicles. And MASK stood for something. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, American Knight or something. I don't know.
All right, so we're going down this rabbit hole too long. Tell Platum that next character they need to add. If they're going, then they are going down this this Guardians of the Galaxy path. They need to add Bug because Bug is awesome.
There you go.
All right.
Let's see. So here's someone. Major Victory. Oh crap, he's a mutant. Never mind. I'm sorry, I skipped some of the email here. So CK7 says, with Martyr being released in PvP, do you think we'll get more? Maybe Yondu, Kovar Op or something. Yondu would be great. Which, by the way, you need to follow Marvel on Instagram because some of the images they're putting out for Guardians of the Galaxy right now are just impressive. They're amazing.
Really? Okay.
Not like set leaks or anything, but there's a side shot of Yondu. It's obviously a professional shot as a promotional picture. And instead of his hair, he has this big metal mohawk. Amazing thing. It looks so good.
Wow.
It looks really good. I don't think we'll see Adam Warlock until Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is closer to release, and I would agree with that. Or Yondu, for that matter. I don't think you're going to see any major characters that relate to the movie that way.
Right.
So he said there's Major Victory, which is the Guardians of the Galaxy futuristic cosmic version of Captain America, and they literally make a joke about that. Jack Flagg.
By the way, Batnam.
He keeps saying Batnam. I don't know what Batnam is.
I think they're correcting you. Didn't you say something Batman?
I don't know.
Where is it?
It's five minutes ago, man. I don't retain that.
Okay. Kind of all right. Never mind.
I don't. This is so 5 minutes ago.
It might be. Yes, exactly. So never mind. All right.
I don't know. I don't know what Batman. Mobile Armored Strike Command. Thank you, Cassius. So the fact that I can remember this stuff from my childhood and
we're so letting the chat room just completely derail.
You're right. Blinders on. All right. Cosmo, of course, Cosmo's space dog. He has made an appearance in the game, but only in the text, as you know, in the story. He's not as a character, but that'd be cool. And Bug is listed here. Sadly, I do not think we'll ever see any original Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, I wouldn't mind getting more cosmic heroes unaffiliated with the Guardians of the Galaxy as well. Hint, Super Skrull. Hint.
Super Skrull.
Which we won't get because he's Fox.
Fantastic Four. Yeah. Yeah. But we haven't had Skrulls. No, they haven't shown Skrulls in any of the movies. So,
well, okay. So what I understand about the licensing is we can tap Skrulls. It's one of those weird shared universe things where we could get Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. We can have Skrulls, but Super Skrull is specifically locked to the Fantastic Four and Fox.
All right.
Named that way. That's my understanding. We all know I'm not 100% right on everything.
Sure.
Well, I'm off. I guess I think I might do a build for one of my favorite old teams, Warhorse Team Nancy Sinatra, next week. That'd be the Horseman of War, X-23, and Gorgon.
And these boots are made for walking. I get the X-23 reference. Yeah. Nice.
That's if nothing else comes up. Might try to finish up my research on how Night America's War Stories affects the cast before college starts up again, though. And that is it for CK7. And that's it for the emails today and the show. We had some great new content drop in, so it definitely extended the show out.
It did.
And oddly enough, you know, it's not 1980, so I never imagined I'd be saying this too much, but I have to actually run to Radio Shack before I go do something tonight. So,
and you can thank Nick Cannon for saving Radio Shack, the guy who... host of America's Got Talent, because
I know who he is.
He spearheaded the cause to save Radio Shack from obscurity.
Did he really?
Completely, yes.
I knew that they were sinking fast. I knew you only found them in small towns.
He did an influx of money and in promotion. And
well, thank you, Nick. And that's one of the few places I can get cables.
The man who
saved
Radio Shack.
Yeah, because honestly, if it weren't for Radio Shack, I need some specific audio cables. If it weren't for Radio Shack, I have to go to Amazon and wait time for it to come to my house. So I definitely appreciate that. So just to kind of summarize this crazy show that we've just done, in the middle of it, we had the infiltrator. Well, the infiltrator flight suit works, and then we saw the other flight suits hit the research bar, which you cannot research them until we get the blueprints. We saw,
all the crap ton of 30 new EISO. So far, I've bought 15 of them.
But 15. And then that was it for the content. And then, of course, a bunch of great emails and those kind of things. So, all right, everybody, get to doing your research. We don't have time for a deuce today. So, for everybody who's live, sorry to break your heart.
That's all right. But I did get level S, so I've got Deathlock. Nice.
I actually forgot to log in for the last few days until somebody went, hey, how'd y'all fare? I was like, oh crap. Well, my fault. You know, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Crazy weekend. Right. So on and so forth. So, all right. I'll laugh at your joke. Ha, 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 ha. Such fun. DJ Drewski.
Yes. Drew couldn't DeVos, save his relationship with Mariah Carey. Yeah, that's good.
That's good. And again. Yeah.
Breakups are really funny, Dr. Drewski.
And the final point is, if Ibbot will shoot me the list, I will get, because I know he won't do it, but I will absolutely put his Amazon wish list up on the Facebook page. Everybody can send him a little something to show our love.
Oh, no. So. it's a nice thought, but all right, I'll send you the list, but it's no.
Hey, see, I understand. I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, I also understand being on this side of it going, he's an awesome guy. Let's do some awesome stuff for him.
No, that's super nice of you.
All right, let me get Mike Woodard running here. Damn it. I apologize, Mike. Again, I don't have the new outro.
Really? You've had a week.
I know. Pokemon, man. Pokemon, that's all I can say. All right, here's the old outro. Sorry, Mike.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbot on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes, on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, meaning all that new ISO, all my gold has fled. Well, I hear you screaming, but